There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 355. June 22nd, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know, you want to.
Thank you, Steve. And, of course, we love Marin Karting and the Northern California Jim Russell Rotax
Challenge.
Challenge. Steve, welcome to England. How are you?
Really? We moved the studios again?
Yep. We're on the road again.
Tell me about this instead of just, you know, moving my bed while I'm sleeping.
I understand, but that's the way it is when you're covering Formula One.
Formula One.
For the last year.
Yeah, well, who knows what it'll be next year.
Yep.
Well, there'll still be a Formula One next year. It just may not contain the Formula One Teams Association.
Well, I'm going to be calling it Formula 0.5.
Or Formula 1.1.
Something like that.
Yeah, so it should be interesting to see how this shakes out according to the papers today. Our next date is sometime in July.
And now Max Mosley has realized he's gotten himself in a serious cauldron of hot water. I mean,
You know he's in trouble when he's going, oh, we're going to start filing lawsuits.
No, now he's dropped all that and he's saying, please come back.
That's probably because Bernie went over and went, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't get them back.
Yeah, so I don't know how this is going to pan out, but FOTA has already said that the plans are in the works now for a new series. Adelaide has come out saying, welcome back.
Come on, open wheels. Tony George should jump on that bandwagon.
Absolutely.
Too.
Everybody is just signing up for FOTA. They've already admitted to a 17-race year. So I hate to say this, but this is what happens.
Yeah, you know, and I can see both of them running, the Formula One's going to have teams. You know, they've already got an entry list that's got quite a few teams on it. But most of them aren't teams that are racing right now in the series.
This is the best chance for Williams to win a world championship.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you have it. We're going to qualifying. Nice, cool weather. Force India making some big updates to the car.
Some big updates.
Sutil looking great in practice.
Some big updates for the Red Bull, too.
Absolutely.
But Sutil looking good in practice. Giancarlo Fisichella not, flailing around like he seems to most weekends.
Keep up that open mind, Stephen. And, of course, Ferrari, the only team to run the kinetic energy recovery system, which BMW came out and said is stinko, and we're not going to use it for the rest of our careers.
Yeah, another reason why I think some of the teams in FOTA have decided to walk, because that way they can stay away from having to waste their money in trying to develop that piece of technology.
Not only that, but Dominic Cali came out today and saying, you know what, this KERS thing has been a complete disaster, and we've wasted millions and millions and millions of dollars. Thanks, Max, for another cost cutting measure.
Yeah.
Which completely backfired.
Well, another cost cutting measure that you knew from the start wasn't going to save anybody any money. When you develop, how do you expect to save money when you're developing something that's really a completely new technology? It's ridiculous. It's classic Max. Oh, let's get green, but let's get cheaper. I'm sorry, the two do not mix.
Not only that, but F1 Weekly is definitely at the forefront of getting Mr. Mosley booted
Yeah, we should start. We should start an online petition.
Yeah. No, as a matter of fact, I turned on the TV and it took me a while to realize that I was watching the riots in Iran. I thought they were against Max Mosley.
He thought it was the parking lot in Silverstone.
And my apologies to everyone. It was just another mistake on my part. I certainly was wishing for some kind of uprising against this man.
I certainly would like to see you. The way things go, you'd think Max was the only person at the FIA. That there's no one there to step up to him and go, Max, get your head out of your bootay and look at what's happening.
But that's how the leadership is done over at the FIA. You have Max and everybody else is in lockstep.
I wonder where you want to learn that.
We're not going to open that can of worms, Stephen, because we are very polite people here at F1 Weekly, even though...
Max out, damn it!
Some say the apple doesn't fall too far away from the tree, but that's another podcast, another show.
And back to qualifying of the British
exactly.
Grand Prix.
Pretty exciting stuff. Braun struggling all weekend.
Not nearly as dominant as we've seen them. Typically, they don't really show up all that high in practice, but you could see this weekend that they were
see that these guys were struggling. Not being able to get the tires up to temperature, which means no grip.
And this is the track where you really have to have it because the high-speed corners dictate, you know, if you can't get grip, then you can't take the high-speed corners at top end like most teams do. Take a look at the poor McLarens, the only team on the grid who's actually having to downshift through the first turn complex. And no matter what they did, they weren't getting any grip.
Exactly. Q1 starts, and just 8 minutes to go, you could tell Braun may be looking at a disastrous weekend, but if they play their cards right, they can salvage something. It didn't look good to me. And, of course, Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber and Red Bull Renault have been looking outstanding since Friday practice.
Yeah. Whatever new he decided to put or add to the car, I don't know if these were planned or if there's been developments that they've started at the beginning of the season, but man, that car was quick.
Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber both doing an outstanding job. 4 minutes ago, Mark Webber goes right to the top. Sebastian Vettel, Yarno truly looking strong in Q1. Fernando Alonso looking pretty good as well. And Nico Rosberg, which he always looks pretty good at the beginning.
Yeah, he... He dominated practice again this weekend and, again, can't seem to carry that past the final practice.
Well, I think he does pretty good in the weekend, and so does Kaz. 24 seconds to go in qualifying Section 1. Adrian Sutil has a brake failure and just has a huge shunt.
Yeah,
in the
monster.
In the Abbey curve. Just brutal.
Yeah,
it looked like I thought he was going to be hurt.
Yeah, it looked like something may have broke, and just the car got really twitchy, and then bang, he's off the track and off into the tire barrier at pretty much full tilt. You really didn't lose any velocity before he hit, and I agree with you. He was a little slow getting out of the car, and I did not really expect him to be up and around, especially when you see the marshals, you know, one of the guys turning and go, run, go get help kind of thing. And, but before long, he was up and out. And
yeah, he was winded, around. Obviously.
Yeah, probably got the wind knocked out of him more than anything.
And, of course, the other story, which is not a new story anymore, is Lewis Hamilton. And I was thinking they might want to put a sail on that.
Well, at Silverstone, it's usually windy. Yeah. It wouldn't hurt him, probably.
Silverstone and Barcelona, stick the sail up. Get it. That's your new curse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But actually, Sutil's shunt ends up really hurting Hamilton because he was on his final fast lap. But and if the red light hadn't come out, there was a small possibility that he would have, Mr. Rogers has his fingers pressed together.
Yes, let me get the micrometer out to check this possibility because in the end he admitted that, you know, he's driving a boat. It feels like a boat. And, you know, if it looks like a boat, drives like a boat,
get a sail.
Exactly. So keep up the good work, Lewis, for keeping your chin up.
So out in the first session are the usual culprits. Giancarlo Fisichella has a relatively strong for Sessin, qualifying 16th with a 119.08, which is about just barely a tenth from getting him into the second session. Sebastian Bourdais qualifies 17th, Adrian Sutil in 18th, Lewis Hamilton in 19th, and Sebastian Buemi kind of having an off day, it appears, in qualifying 20th.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, that's what, kind of a rookie season. This is probably a little bit tougher track for, because it's a lot like, you really only have one technical section, and that's the end of the race, and everything else is pretty much flat out all the way around. And I don't understand Ecclestone going that this track is dated and out of date for Formula One. I think this is a fabulous track for Formula One, because it's really the one track where you really run the car flat out, and then you have to kind of weave your way back and then start up again.
No, Bernie just has those canned thoughts that he spews to the public when he's trying to defend Bahrain, Malaysia.
Donington.
And the and the lack of attendance at Turkey. I mean, it's just pathetic. This race is always attended well. It's a historical moment.
And frankly, with the kind of attendance you get at Silverstone, you could probably have two gridded British Grand Prix.
Exactly.
The turnout you would get would be pretty good.
So, yeah, Bernie's full of it. And he was backing down, saying that if Donington fails to
achieve its goals,
to be prepared for the 2010 GP, that, of course, it'll go back to Silverstone. I mean, it's amazing how quickly all these people change their minds when the winds are shifting.
Yeah, and we're looking at an issue now in the fact that, you know, Formula One can kind of go wherever it wants. Where's Foda going to take their race?
Exactly. Q2, Red Bull out first. And, of course, their dominating speed is out of control. These people look to have this under control. And Braun looked worried.
Yeah, and not exceptionally strong again in this session, though they do both manage to get through to the next one. And, again, the Saubers having a heck of a time, as a general rule, just keeping up with the rest of the pack. You know, them, for a team that wasn't into it till the end of the season, like McLaren and Ferrari were, somebody lost the recipe on the way to the new design at BMW.
Absolutely. And I expected Ferrari to come up with some good pace at this race. And in Q2, I thought they would have done better, even though they do struggle through it.
Yeah, I would have expected, was kind of more or less expecting them to get both cars into the final session. Whether or not they got, you know, how far they got into the final session, how far up they got in the final session. But as it is, Felipe just misses the cut by about a tenth and a half or so from getting into that final session.
Yeah, Kimi Raikkonen seems to have woken up from his deep sleep in the ice cream store.
Yeah, well, for qualifying, anyway.
Yes. I mean, and like you said, Felipe Massa winds up being 11th. And sure enough, who's out? Nelson Piquet, Nick Heidfeld, Heikki Kovalainen, who just squeezed in the Q2, and Robert Kubica, both Saubers are just pathetic.
Yeah, and, you know, you can see the difference in the quality of driver between, and it's not even that much, because you're really only not even a tenth and a half between him and between Kubica and Heidfeld. This car's just a pig. It's amazing. You wonder, okay, did they spend a little bit too much time worrying about curves and not worrying as much about the aerodynamics? And, you know, and a lot of the people believe that the only reason Ferrari still got curves in their car is balance. Because if they take it out, that's a big weight distribution change that they can't make up.
So, I feel sorry for Mario Tyson. I mean, they made those steps forward where you saw Kubica winning the Canadian Grand Prix and, you know, those great steps forward just completely crumble.
Oh, they were basically at this point of last season, they were, you know, top of the heap as far as constructors and drivers championship. And now it's just languishing down at the bottom of the field.
How quickly things change. And, of course, it's going to be the Red Bull Braun weekend pretty much, even though Williams does show a little bit of pace. Let's go to Q3, and let's just quickly just say it. Sebastian Vettel gets pole. He's the machismo.
And he does it impressively. He takes pole by almost 3/10 of a second.
A full
2.5, pretty much, over Rubens Barrichello. And Rubens just barely beats Mark Webber out for P2, less than a tenth.
Not only that, but let's not forget Sebastian Vettel. It turns out he is heavier in fuel than Rubinho and Mark Webber. So this young man is doing an outstanding
job. He's 9 kilos lighter than Barrichello, about 7 kilos lighter than his teammate. Basically, he is the heaviest car in the top 10.
Correct.
Which is insane to be able to put down that kind of lap with that kind of weight, to basically outpace everyone. You know, this car just perfect for him this weekend. Absolutely perfect.
Absolutely. So we had Sebastian Vettel, Rubens Barrichello, Mark Webber, Yarno Trulli, Kaz Nakajima. Jenson Button could only muster sixth place. He could not get to grips with the car. Low grip was his biggest problem.
Yeah, and he's 8/10 off of Vettel's pace. Timo Glock or Nico Rosberg right behind him in 7th. Timo in 8th, Kimi Räikkönen in 9th, and Fernando Alonso qualifies in 10th. Again, Toyota's looking good in qualifying. Can they carry it over into the race? And again, also, same goes for the Williams team. Congratulations to Kaz Nakajima for his best qualifying performance ever. And good chance, thinking that maybe he could match his father's best race at this track, a fourth place finish in, I think it was, they said, 87?
Possible.
So
we'll have to ask Mr. Encyclopedia.
Yeah, Mr. Encyclopedia, can you help us?
So there you go. Great stuff for Vettel and Red Bull. Let's go right to the British Grand Prix Sunday. And, of course, as you stated, Vettel is the heaviest in the top 10. And, of course, the big question is, Mark Webber still looking for that
elusive,
of course, victory. And he's got a good chance. Of course, Rubinho.
For him, basically saying that he was going to win this race.
And that's
away
his
from
elusive victory with Braun.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, Rubinho being on the front row, Mark Webber told himself and the media that he must get by Rubens Barrichello, hopefully, on the start or by the first lap.
Yeah, by the end of the first lap. He tries his darndest, but doesn't manage to pull it off.
Nope. Lights go out. Great start for Kimi Räikkönen. He went from
9th.
Yeah, I mean, he went to the left, a little bit of grass, and he just shot forward. Yeah. Of course, he's got Kurs, and it's charged up at the beginning of the race. Jenson Button.
And he's one of the guys who benefits greatly by the fact that Toyota's practically look like they stalled.
Exactly. Terrible start for Yarno Trulli. He went down to P7. Jenson Button, not a great start because he got stuck behind Yarno Trulli and had nowhere to go. And he went down to P9.
Yeah, not a good start for them. Anybody who was behind one of the Toyotas was going to have a rough chance to get up to the front of the grid.
Exactly. Jenson Button got stuck behind Felipe Massa. On lap 2, Fernando Alonso looks like he's having trouble. People are just getting by him. Nick Heidfeld, Giancarlo Fisichella, and it was just bewildering. I wasn't sure. It could have been a tire problem, not sure, but it didn't look very machismo.
Yeah, I think he was having that car a lot of trouble when the tires aren't hot, and he was basically fighting it to try to keep in front of these guys, but really couldn't. And the one thing I was noticing about the Renault all day, great top end. Because there were several times when he and PK were coming up on other people where they would basically have more speed in the straight, but not, just that elusive, a little bit extra to get far enough to get the corner first. Because at least one time when he basically had a half a car length on Lewis Hamilton, but Hamilton was able to break him into the corner,
Lap 3, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1-2-1, 8-2-3. Fernando Alonso goes into the grass. then comes back, sort of gets in the way of Lewis Hamilton, then Lewis Hamilton goes in the wrath, in the grass, and then Robert Kubica gets past Lewis Hamilton. Lap 4, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel, 1-2-1, 6-18, and Sebastian Vettel realizes, not only is he heavier in fuel, but he realizes he's got to bang in the fast laps, and he's doing exactly what he needs to do, Schumacher-esque, well, all
get,
the
get used to
way.
Sebastian Vettel, fastest lap, because I think he is the fastest car on track until the first pit stops.
Sebastian Vettel got all the fast laps of this race.
Yeah, it was,
nobody else contributed.
No, it was amazing how quickly
it's very impressive. Race. This young man is outstanding, and the car is running great. The Renault motor is good, and obviously Adrian Newey, and they came out with a new nose for this weekend.
Yeah.
Lots of upgrades, and it paid off.
It's interesting how much more like the front end now looks like the bronze front end.
Not only that, but I say, Renault and Flavio, put some money together and let's get Adrian Newey over to Renault right away.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
going to be a little tough, though, because I'm Red Bull's got deep pockets.
That's true, and Renault is suffering, so we'll see what happens there. Lap 5, Nick Heidfeld has some damage. They get on the radio and they tell him, Nick, your front nose is damaged. Can you please pit so we can put another nose on? He says he doesn't want to.
No, and it was interesting, too, in that he wasn't really losing a lot of time because of it. And I think it was a right decision by Nick to stay out because he wasn't really sacrificing performance. He had a little bit of damage, but it wasn't significant enough to slow him down to really – because if he goes in and blows the 25 seconds for a pit stop, he's completely toast.
Yeah, but he's blocking the dude, the machismo man.
Well, Clark Rogers – you know, you've got to get into that radio channel, dude, so you can go, Nick, get off the track. Yeah. Fernando's behind you.
I mean, but Fernando's trying to get by this guy, and he just can't. You know, it just, it was a brutal part of the race. And it's funny because right behind him, Lewis Hamilton is trying to get by Robert Kubica, and he can't.
No.
And this battle goes on and on. And it's with the sad part, we're talking what? P16, P17?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But that was where the excitement was.
Yeah. Mid-pack and back of the pack of where things were happening in this race.
Absolutely.
Because at the same time, Sebastian Vettel's out in the front, extending his lead by about a second every lap. It's
unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
And continued fast laps. Lap 6, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1-2-1-4-5-8. Lewis Hamilton trying to get by Robert Kubica. So bad for P14. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
His sail's not working. He's got no curves this weekend. I mean, I thought he was going to get the oars out. I was ready for oars.
Yeah, oars, like a throw up a sail. Get something to get me some more speed down the straights.
Lap 7, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel, 1-2-1-2-7-5. And Sebastian Vettel is on fire. This man is the kind of driver you want on your team.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very, very impressive.
The kid is phenomenally talented. If he can stay in quality packages, you know, he could theoretically be the best ever. It's a matter of getting in the right cars at the right time. The problem is that, you know, there may not be a Formula One next year for him to dominate.
Lap 11, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel, 1-2-6-8-3-9. I'm sorry, a 1-2-0-8-3-9. Lead is up to 10 seconds. Like you said, a second a lap.
It's insane. This car is just so good this weekend. And you wonder what's going on with Weber because he's not making it happen like Sebastian Vettel is. And maybe it's because he doesn't have clean air because he's behind Barrichello. And who knows? Maybe it's just because this kid is so phenomenally talented. No one's going to be able to put this much speed in. He's another Fernando in that he adds X number of seconds to
maybe
the car
Are you saying he brings 6 tenths to the team?
I'd give him at least 3.
Absolutely. Lap 12, we've got Sebastian Vettel in the lead, Rubens Barrichello, Mark Webber, Kaz Nakajima, Kimi Raikkonen, Nico Rosberg, Yonah Truly, Jenson Button, Felipe Massa, and Timo Glock round off the top 10. Lap 13, fast lap of the race. You know it. Sebastian Vettel with a 1-2-0-8-2-1. And on lap 14, the gap is 14 seconds. Consistent 1 second
Same.
Per lap. This is full on. This is machismo.
Yeah, this is crazy because one, his car's heavier. Two, he didn't outqualify Rubens Barrichello by a second. But once the race is going, see ya.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Rubens Barrichello is just cussing in Portuguese.
Yeah, and whatever other languages he probably knows.
Fernando Alonso now is really losing time behind Nick Heidfeld. I mean, it's annoying. You could see the frustration in Fernando.
And he, again, it's a situation where he can get close, but he doesn't have just enough extra to get the angle on him to get the spot. Nick's doing a really good job of being the moving roadblock and keeping himself in position to keep Fernando from getting an advantage.
Absolutely. Lap 15. Kaz, with that great qualifying form, was the lightest. He pits. One of the first guys to pits, goes with a hard compound, 9.1 second stop.
Had a little bit of trouble getting one of the tires back on, and it
acted. The fuel was still going in while they were having the trouble, so it all really panned out.
But it didn't help him much because he rejoined a little bit deep in the pack.
There you go, and really never gains it back.
Nope.
Lap 16, Kimi Räikkönen pits, soft tires, 9.4 seconds. Fast lap of the race, of course, him again. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:20.735. And lap 17, Kimi Räikkönen gets by Kaz Nakajima
on the pit stop. And
with that stop, which leapfrog.
Yep. But Kaz is into 11th, and that Kaz is not going to be able to get that back.
No, it's going to be a struggle to match his qualifying form, which doesn't happen. And actually, Nico begins to be the dominant one in for the Williams team.
Yeah, exactly. Showing his better skill. Maybe his experience.
Exactly. Lap 18, Nico Rosberg pits, Jenson Button pits, Giancarlo Trulli. They all pit. Jenson Button's is a 9.8. And really, they should have focused on getting him in front of Giancarlo Trulli. But they couldn't. Giancarlo Trulli's team was fast, 8.8 second stop.
Yeah, excellent stop. And again, it truly... one of the toughest guys on the grid to pass. The Toyota is reasonably strong car, and to not be able to get that jump, get him ahead of him, really hurts them later on in the race.
Exactly. Lap 19, Fernando Alonso pits, Rubens Barrichello pits, and Timo Glock pits. This is a big stop for Rubinho. It's 9.7. He goes with the hard tires, and no advantages gained.
No, he doesn't get ahead, and it actually ends up coming to bite him. Because Weber pits on the next lap.
And there you go. The coup de grace. Mark Weber pits on lap 20. Goes with the softs. And they fill it up. It's an 11-point second stop.
Yeah. And he still...
And he leapfrogs
Rosma. And he just beats Rubens out of the
Rubinho
pit.
Once again, you could see him going, yeah, that's a spicy meatball.
Yeah. What do I got to do to get a break in this
it's
thing?
It's not going
to
happen, okay? Yeah, you're number two. Stick with it.
Live with it and just enjoy the paycheck.
Not only that, but it's one number two going by another number two.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Mark Webber probably wouldn't admit it, but he knows it.
That's exactly right. Lewis Hamilton pits. Sebastian Vettel pits. Giancarlo Fisichella pits. Nick Heidfeld pits. And, of course, Sebastian Vettel has got that lead.
It's ridiculous. He pits. He pulls out.
And he's in the lead.
They show the shot down the straight.
There's nobody.
No. Mark Webber, Ruby haven't even turned on home straight yet.
Unbelievable.
It's insane how much of a lead he had.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the Red Bull team, they've got their little temple, and it's Sebastian Vettel with, you know, three oranges, and he's the guy.
Yeah, well, he's definitely their hopes for any chance of coming back. You know, of course, they had to bring up the fact that 2 years ago, at this point in the season, Kimi Räikkönen was 26 points behind the... championship leading Lewis Hamilton and managed to squeak out the Drivers' Championship at the end of the year.
I'm telling you.
This could happen. If for some reason, you know, we thought Brawn had a whole bunch left, you know, they were sandbagging and had a bunch left in their tank, but maybe new changes have just destroyed that reserve that Brawn had.
Absolutely. The fat lady is still at the store shopping, guys. She hasn't even begun... to rehearse.
Nope. She's not even warming up.
No. So
I am the eclairs in the case.
Absolutely. I prefer vanilla eclairs, but no. This is going to be a good season ending. I feel
it looks like it's going to be a race.
Yep.
Which is
Red Bull is going to catch up, and I predict that records will be shattered with Vettel winning the championship. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That would be fun. That would just be devastating for Jens after winning the first six of the first seven. But that would be, you know, it's kind of the story of his career, too. So,
c'est la vie.
At least it looks like we're going to have a race.
Lap 22, Buemi pits, and Felipe Massa does as well. 8.2 second stop for Felipe goes with the soft tires. And Lewis Hamilton finally gets by Nick Heidfeld, who was coming out of the pits. And Nick should have had this. But he I think he was like looking at little birds. He was just la-la. He should have been able to fend off Lewis Hamilton and didn't.
Maybe he was taking a sip out of his water bottle.
You mean his big gulp?
Yep.
Yeah, I heard about that. Lap 26, Felipe Massa really doing well. He went from P11 to P5.
Yeah, a good race for Felipe. A little bit of strategy helping him out, but he's managed to get from... You know, that they had a good long first stint. He ends up pitting from P2. Gets back out, and he's out in fifth. Huge change in position through the pit stop cycle.
Right, started P11, and he does well. It's very impressive. The car doesn't look fantastic all the time, but Felipe Massa always really giving it his all.
Yeah, he's always you always know that he's pushing as hard as he can. We actually saw it last year at Silverstone that he was probably trying too hard in the wet to be competitive and had all his spins, but
and we can't even call him Cupid Doll anymore.
No, well, we really could do that when you know he had the mammoth personality of Michael Schumacher in the other car. Can't really call him that anymore.
Lap 27, it's Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Rubens Barrichello, Nico Rosberg, Felipe Massa, Jarno Trulli, Kimi Räikkönen, and Jenson Button rounding off the points-paying positions. Lap 28, Sebastian Bourdais pits from P14. Red Bull asking to come. Well, now, what was going on here?
It's pretty funny. They want him to kind of pull back a little bit. Conserve his tires. He was running the softs in this stint, and they really wanted him to kind of not run it flat out so that they could get the most performance over the longest length of time out of that set of tires. But this car wasn't even at top end, I don't think, was really putting a lot of strain on the tires.
Exactly. Robert Kubica pits on lap 29. So does Nelson Piquet. Call me Junior when I'm in good mood from P12. Lap 30, we have a little dicing up here in the back because there's not much happening up front.
Yep.
And this is Lewis Hamilton passing Fernando Alonso. And Fernando Alonso says, ay, 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 ay. Not so fast.
Yeah, I'm going to take that right back.
And it was pretty exciting. Some good stuff there. Lap 32, Fernando Alonso gets past Lewis Hamilton and finally keeps the lead, way back there.
Yeah. Keeps his position.
Lap 33, Nico Rosberg is finally catching Rubens Barrichello. And we're talking P3 here. Very, very important stuff. Nico having a strong race, keeping pace.
Yep.
And really, really finally showing some of that practice and qualifying form into race numbers.
Showing that pace on a busy track.
Ike Kovalainen pits on lap 33. So does Adrian Sutil, who's not having the race that Giancarlo is.
No, definitely not. Fizzy's gotten himself quite a ways up the field.
He's like in P10.
But poor Sutil, I think, also had an issue. His car actually quit on him on the outlap. On the way to the grid. So we ended up having to start from pit lane, and that really kind of put him behind the eight ball. I don't think this car is performing exceptionally well either because it was basically rebuilt overnight. And so it's not – the setup probably isn't, you know, ideal, even with all the micrometers and measurements that they take as they set cars up. But I'm sure he's probably getting, you know, just a tiny tweak in the frame and all kinds of the good stuff. So –
yeah, the metrology involved in these things is so ridiculous that to rebuild the car with a new chassis on the weekend is tough.
Oh, yeah. They can do it, but to get it exactly like the one it was that it's replacing, dude, tough for anybody to get it exactly right. You know, you always hope that maybe if they tweak it in the right direction, but he's just having a hard time. You know, and maybe in the back of his head, you know, maybe he's a little sore this morning after, you know, slamming into the tire barrier at, you know, 110 miles an hour.
Lap 35, Sebastian Bourdais is dicing it up with Heikki Kovalainen, who had just come out of the pits, remember?
After pitting, yeah.
Heavy on fuel. Heinfeld. He's full of fuel. And I'm not sure what happened here. It's still a little foggy for me, Steve.
Yeah, wide part of the track. Sebastian Bourdais goes way over to the right-hand side, like he's going to make the move over there. And then as Kobe starts to move in that direction, he cuts back hard and looks like he's got him on the inside. And then Kobe just makes just a twitch of a move. And I think that screwed up Bourdais because Bourdais put the wing underneath Heike's rear tire.
Yep. Finally, some excitement, some destruction.
Yeah. You know, if it weren't for this, all the cars would have finished the race. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I agree. There was not much happening, really, except for some dicing it up with Fernando Lewis Hamilton.
Yep. So basically what occurs in this wreck is Bourdais loses his front wing, slides it across the infield. He goes across the grass. He gets back on the track. And Heikki Kovalainen ends up with a cut tire, and he's limping back to the pits. They both get back to the pits about the same time because, you know, Heikki's slowed down because he's got a bad tire. You know, Sebastian can't go very fast because he doesn't have a front wing. They both get back out. They both get repaired. They get both back out on track. And within two laps, both of them are back in and in the garage.
Yep.
So looked like Heikki may have had more damage to that rear suspension. More than likely, probably not from the accident so much as from the trip in on the busted tire. And then Sebastian Bourdais, I'm not sure exactly what it was, but maybe he had something go wrong with the suspension component on the front because both of them both of them drove back into the pits.
Yeah.
So something on telemetry or something in the feel of the car, just not right, not worth taking the risk. You know, we're both running at the back of the pack. Let's get in, get in the garage, you know, if for no other reason, conserve the drivetrain for a future race.
Exactly. And of course, both of them blaming the other.
Yeah. And it's one, to me, racing incident. Both of them trying hard, Heikki trying to keep him back there, Sebastian Bourdais, you know, maybe cutting it just a tiny bit too close, but I don't think you could really blame either of them.
Lap 40, the team is telling Nico Rosberg to push Rubens Barrichello before he pits. Nico's got a pit coming up, but they want him to really get some good laps in it to push Rubinho.
See if they can force him in. You know, yeah, but they basically want him to try to force him into making a mistake.
Right, and you're not going to make Rubinho make a mistake. No. The guy's a vintage.
Yeah, unless you're David Coulthard.
Exactly.
And that's just because you probably ran into him.
And that's why David doesn't drive anymore.
You got it. So I understand he's really doing a good job as a commentator.
He is. That's what I watch is the BBC, and he's doing an outstanding job. I even like Eddie Jordan.
He can be colorful.
Lap 42, Kimi Raikkonen and Buemi pit. Kimi Raikkonen's stop is 7.5 seconds and goes with the hard compound. Lap 43, Nico Rosberg pit, 6.4, soft tires. Lap 44, Sebastian Vettel puts in his last pit stops, 8.2 second stop. Hard compound, and
he's out with plenty of time to spare.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's got this thing in the bag.
Yeah, it's just
a matter. Cruise control.
Keep it on the track, you know, don't push it too hard. You know, in fact, I think they come on a little bit later and go, easy, Sebastian, you've got lots of lead, take it easy. You know, don't push too hard.
He's young.
We don't want the car to blow up. We, you know, if nothing, again, if for no other reason, you're so far out in front, conserve the drivetrain because you may need it again later in the season.
Lewis Hamilton goes off into the grass. And that front wing really does a really good job.
A mow in the lawn.
Oh, dude, it's outstanding. And it's actually revolutionizing lawn mowing as we know it today.
Especially at racetracks around the world.
Exactly.
Watching this happen, basically he was kind of avoiding the debris field that was left over from the...
Sure he was, Steven.
From the... From the previous accident, and he gets one of his tires up on the grass, and basically just kicks out his grip, and he's off and running.
Exactly, and right after he goes off, he goes ahead and pits.
Yeah, well, get in there, get some tires. There's too much grass on them now.
Exactly. Lap 45, Felipe Massa and Giancarlo Fisichella pit. 7.5 second stop for Massa on the hard compound, and this is a big deal. Ferrari doing a good job. Massa doing a good job, and Felipe Massa on this pit stop leapfrogs Nico and Macho.
Yeah, and Nico never is able to recover on this one. Massa gets up, he gets into fourth, and is able to get enough of a lead to keep it for the remainder of the race.
I thought it was pretty exciting. Massa needed some positive stuff.
Especially considering what his team was doing to him earlier in the season, where they were just hosing him, it seemed like, at every opportunity. And this weekend, basically, have pulled out all the stops and gotten everything right to get him the best possible finish. Considering he started from 11th to complete the race seven positions up, is just going to be a phenomenal boost for confidence for them going on to the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Lap 47, Mark Webber pits from the lead, 6.8-second stop, hard compound. Rubens Barrichello pit, Nick Heidfeld, Robert Kubica all pit. Lap 48, Timo Glock pits, 5.2-second stop, hard compound.
Splash and dash.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the end of the race.
Yeah,
lap 49, it's Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Jenson Button, who has not pitted for his second stop.
Yep.
And Rubens Barrichello and Felipe Massa. And, of course, as soon as I noted that, Jenson Button pits. And it's a 6.3-second stop, goes with the soft tires, and comes out in P6.
Right where he started the race.
Lap 51, Sebastian Bourdais says, "No, my fault. It was Heike's fault. He's a stupid dude.
Damn, Finn."
Yep. That was his American side that was talking. He just had a hot dog. Lap 52, Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Rubens Barrichello, Felipe Massa, and Nico Rosberg round off the top five. Timo Glock is actually closing on Kimi Raikkonen for P8. Toyota needs points.
Yeah.
And I thought,
especially considering where they started, they really need to score. It's kind of been their MO for the last couple of years, where they'll qualify real well, but they get into a race and it's like further back, out of the points. And it's like, what happened?
Yeah, they're the disappointment of the season, especially after being on pole earlier in the season, the full front row. So I don't know what's going on there, but I'm sure it's quite frustrating for Yonar Trulli. Still, once again, I'll use the word elusive, win for the Toyota team.
Yeah, it's start of the season, it looked like it was well within reach. They were fast. Absolutely. They were competitive, and now it's starting to look like
unrealistic.
It's going to be another season where for them to get one, you know, there's going to have to be some heck of a schmozzle at the beginning of the race in the front of the grid for them to even have an opportunity.
Lap 54, Jenson Button all of a sudden looks fantastic. Knocking a second off each lap, catching Mr. Rosberg in P5. And it was weird. All of a sudden, everything seemed to
The car finally came in, and it's like, what the? And, you know, just a little too late for him to get anything out of it. He's right on Nico's tail as they come across the line.
Yeah, I mean, he's catching him so quickly. It's very impressive, and you just go, wow, that's just too bad that didn't happen earlier in the race.
Exactly.
But very impressive, and the race continues and finishes the way it stands. Sebastian Vettel wins the British Grand Prix. He's excited. He's young. It's his first dry race to win.
That's true. Finally. But all credit to Adrian Newey for giving him a car and his Red Bull team. Just a phenomenally balanced package this weekend for him.
Absolutely. Mark Webber coming in second. And the domination is now moved to Red Bull. They dominated this race.
Yeah, and let's see if they can carry it over to Germany in a couple weeks. It will be very interesting to see if they can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Rubens Barrichello did a good job. Obviously, he was hoping for better, but he's on the podium. Keep up the good work. Rubinho, Felipe Massa, I think, doing a great job. And Ferrari doing an outstanding job in getting him in the top five.
Oh, yeah, and he was, you know, if we'd had another 5-6 laps in this race, he may have been able to catch Barrichello. He was pulling up on him. He cut that margin down to just under 4 seconds. And then the other two right behind him were giving him a good push, with Nico only less than a second behind him, with Button, you know, 3/10 behind Rosberg across the line.
Yeah, so Jenson Button settles for 6. Of course, he came into this race with a 26-point lead in the Drivers' Championship, so he had not too much to worry about. And, of course, Braun promises the fight back in Germany.
No, they're just going to roll over and wet themselves. Come on. I love those comments. You know, it's I wish the drivers would hear some of those and be more positive. Well, we don't have a very good car this weekend. Well, now you really don't, because you don't believe in the car.
Exactly. So there you have it. And now we have some forum comments. Okay, from H. Bright Music. Braun GP's Achilles heel has shown up. They don't perform well in low temperatures, especially Jensen, who suffered with lack of heat to his prime tires. A well-deserved 1-2 finish for Red Bull thanks to Adrian Newey's new bits. It was also the first time the Austrian anthem was heard since 1997 on the podium for the team.
And from Ye, while we were hoping for Red Bull to catch up and give us some racing, the timing of a bad day for Braun robbed us of any action up front. It was fun watching Lewis and Fernando fighting, even if it was for 15th place.
Miguel, Button missed his place in history. Even if he wins the championship, Vettel did a super job setting a great pace in a heavy car.
And last from Autoracer 5, after waking up early, the BBC commentators are nowhere near as good as the guys on speed in America. I don't know about that. Vettel drove a good race, and as long as the temperatures remain hot, Button looks secure for the world championship wager he made. Cream, get the money, dollar bill, y'all. Whatever that means.
Autoracer 5 always has some subliminal messages in his... He's like one of those guys, you know, during World War II, sending code over the BBC.
Or propagandists.
I don't know what he's sending, but...
Underlying message.
I just hope it helps some people somewhere. So thank you guys for the 50 words or less forum comments on the Grand Prix. So there you have it.
And remember, anybody can do this. All you got to do is log into the forum, and you can too, can put in your 2 cents.
Exactly. And I don't know, this time a lot of people, I guess, stayed home. I want to say...
A lot of our listeners may have been at the race.
That's true. I want to give a real quick happy Father's Day to everybody out there. It is the Papa Day here in America. So thank you very much for all the flowers and gifts that have been sent to the Palatial Palace. So there you have it. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. From Stephen and myself, good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.